Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke, the 5th chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Elijah from Tuesday and Peter from today are ready to abandon their callings. Peter's labors had been just as fruitless as Elijah's preaching. I don't think he really wanted to throw down the nets again. And yet, by a miracle, that is, by the Holy Spirit, Peter says, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will." You have your callings too. You are husbands or wives, fathers or mothers. You are sons or daughters. You are citizens and workers. More than one of us here is a preacher. Are you weary? Are you about ready to give up on your children, on your parents, on your nation? You recognize what your stations in life have to do with your faith. In our time, this word vocation is misunderstood to mean job. Vocational instruction that prepares you for a very specific job, like HVAC or tractor repair. But the word voice, not the word work, is the greatest part of the word vocation. God's voice. Whenever someone talks about their job as a calling, ask yourself who is calling. Because the job has no voice, no matter what job it is. It can't really call out to you. A vocation from God doesn't hit you like a wind or an earthquake or a fire of emotions. It comes, as we heard on Tuesday, by an audible, small, but clear word, God's word, from the Holy Scriptures. And it says that you are called, each of you, to be a Christian. Called to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Called to be named with His own name, a holy name, Father, Son, and Spirit. Your particular vocations or stations in which God has called you to be a Christian. They aren't self-chosen. They aren't the degree-certified ones or the third-generation jobs that you might have. The Bible actually says nothing about directors, coordinators, executives, accountants, or admins. And nor does it tell you the job that's right for you. Because callings are the relationships of this world in the three estates: family, church, republic. You remain in your vocations even while you sleep and do no work at all. It is not the work that defines you or the calling. It is your calling that leads you out into that work and its tasks. That's what the Bible says. You are called to obtain a blessing, and therefore called to bless. You are called by the Holy Spirit to be Christ's own. Now, most would say that their job is a calling only if and when they like it, when it pleases me, and thus I say, well, I feel called to this. Christ is quite different, isn't he? He calls us to things that we do not want, that we may not always enjoy, perhaps even that we might despise. He says, if anyone would be my disciple, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. Now, no one feels called to deny themselves. It's precisely our feelings and desires that the Lord often calls us to crucify and drown, as baptism indicates. We struggle to believe this. Our sinful flesh is at war with the Holy Spirit. We see that the saints of old fought that same internal struggle in their vocations. Elijah, sometimes fiery preacher, wallowed in self-pity. God commanded him to do his duty anyway. Peter only grudgingly agreed. Nevertheless, at your word, though I can't really see this working. Now, if you have this mixed up with the world's kind of vocation calling, there will never be any nevertheless spoken. I should wait until I feel like it, till I really want to do it, and till I mean it. So it comes from my heart with spontaneous joy. And you know what? If I can't quite get there, then it must not be my calling, right? Dear saints, with such demonic logic, you can abandon anything that doesn't serve your pleasure. How many divorces have been made on the basis of that thinking? And how many people have rejected God's clear word, refusing both its correction and its comfort, all in the name of a higher spirituality like this, the worship of our own desires. Whoever follows Satan and would be his disciple feels divinely called to indulge themselves, to abandon their cross and their station, and to walk away from the commandments. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. Now, God does want everything done from the heart. But this is why you sing that ancient prayer so often. Create in me anew a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. This prayer confesses with God and at the same time against yourself. He has called you, and so you stick to Him and your duties in faith. If your faith were in yourself, well, then you might wait until the feeling gets right. But when your faith is in Christ, then you expect to be acting often against your own will and flesh. You expect often to be denying yourself, suffering a cross in following Him. You do what is right for no other reason than because it is right, even as a confession against your unbelieving heart and flesh. Dear Christians, labor and serve in your vocations and your jobs, not because they please you, but because it has pleased your God and Father to call and to enlighten and to sanctify you in them by His Word and Spirit. This is how he sanctified Elijah, the great prophet, greatest one, and Peter, the greatest disciple. He did not always make them happy and carefree in their work. But he did preserve them through their suffering, together with his remnant around the world, redeemed in Christ Jesus. So remember Peter's best word from today's reading. Nevertheless, at your word. That's how you fulfill your calling. Only at and by Christ's word. At His word, you are heirs of eternal life. At His word, you are not failures and wicked, but you are righteous and you are forgiven. You are counted worthy of His Son by His Son's blood, in which you trust and are saved. And thus, at His word, your labor is not in vain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today, we pray for the congregations of the New England District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for the volunteers serving online as English conversation partners with students in Puerto Rico. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.